Writing 2,400 years ago, Plato offered the grimly cynical opinion that only the dead have seen the end of war. Our bright and shiny new 21st century had barely begun before expert commentators were proclaiming, credibly, the appearance of the century's first war and, with some hyperbole, possibly even the eruption of the Third World War. Osama bin Laden and his friends and allies plainly are determined to deny us grounds for optimism, that humankind might be outgrowing its erstwhile war-prone condition. One may question whether or not the war against terror, terrorists, and terrorism proclaimed by the United States and its friends, allies, and fellow travelers warrants labeling as the Third World War. However, there is no doubt that the new century opened strategically with several dramatic bangs on the 11th of September 2001. But what did it mean? Was it a harbinger of the leading character of future strife? Perhaps a signal that an era of inter-civilizational, intercultural conflict had dawned? Or was it merely the latest manifestation of the revolutionary phenomenon that, off and on, has plagued the modern structure of order since at least the 1870s? In 1878, Narodnaya Volya, People's Will, was founded to undertake propaganda by terroristic deed in Tsarist Russia. More to the point, perhaps, even if the 11th of September should prove to be an accurate sign of times to come, how important is war between terrorist and counter-terrorist likely to be when viewed in the full context of future strategic history? Nearly 3,000 people were killed on the 11th of September. But the Third World War that was widely anticipated for 40 years, from 1949 to 89, might well have resulted in fatalities numbering in the hundreds of millions. Is the prospect of such a Holocaust now safely behind us? Or has it been just resting while the major players shake down and recover from the Cold War that was? Truly, it is said that nothing dates so rapidly as yesterday's tomorrow. This book can rely upon no strategic historical narrative. Since, by definition, future warfare has yet to happen, what can be said about it that will be important, interesting, and unlikely to be invalidated by tomorrow's headlines? I may be criticized by some for assuming that war has a healthy future. I address this fundamental matter in Chapter 1. It is probably important to register the fact here and now that far from simply assuming that there will be future warfare, I have thought and written critically for more than 30 years about the causes of conflict and the causes of peace also. The argument here does not proceed from an unexamined assumption that the future must resemble the past, albeit with somewhat different technology. It is not unfair to comment that although many historical developments are possible, some are far more probable than others. Future warfare has yet to occur, of course, but it is reasonable to require a substantial burden of proof by argument if we are to take seriously the proposition that humankind is in the process of curing itself of the habit of war. Such a transformation has not occurred in the nearly 3 millennia of history variably accessible to our inspection. Why should it happen now? Another transformational fallacy, though of a less fundamental kind, is that which sees not merely the character, but even the nature of war radically altered by technological, social, or cultural advance. That perspective insists that new technologies, when interpreted by innovative military ideas, and when organized in the necessary mass in tailored military units, allow for transformation in the nature of war.